All right, so this is Adriana Sisco, and the date is September 14th, 2021. I'm speaking with Susan Sliger for the Country Oral History Project, and we are both located in Lexington. At least I assume we are. Are you in Lexington, Susan? Okay, great.
Yes, I am.
All right, awesome. And how about to start us off, you just tell me a little bit about yourself in general.
Okay. I was born in Tennessee and raised in Chattanooga, and I came to Lexington to work for IBM in 1967. So I've been in Kentucky longer than I've been any place else. And I love it.
Okay, awesome. All right, thank you. I guess to start off then, what was it like growing up in Tennessee? What city or town did you grow up in?
Chattanooga.
Okay, gotcha.
Chattanooga. And that in the late 50s, early 60s, it was a real backward town, if you know what I mean.
I am getting your drift, yeah. I'm getting yes. The vibe, yeah.
And my parents were super religious, so it was doubly so for me.
And you mentioned super religious. What is that? What do you mean by that? Do you mean like you went to church a lot, or like
absolutely
certain kinds of rules?
We went to a church that was Southern Independent Baptist, which mm-hmm. means it wasn't even as liberal, in quotes, as a Baptist church. So it was very, very, very strict. We used to say anything that was fun was a sin. You couldn't dance. You couldn't play cards. You couldn't even swim in a swimming pool with the opposite sex with your suits on. Because that was called mixed bathing.
That's a terrible term. There's something right. terrible about
mixed bathing.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And so when you were a kid, you know, the no dancing and the mixed bathing, all stuff, like, do you remember having any thoughts or feelings about this? Or was it just kind of your normal life, essentially?
Oh, no. I couldn't wait to get out of that town.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember, that's all I wanted to do was get enough education to get a good job and get out of there.
Yeah. And I mean,
my life was restricted. I knew what I wanted my life to be. I wanted to be free to be me.
Okay. That's it. I'm sensing some phrasing here. So, when you were a kid, in terms of like the people you were around, was everyone, sort of part of this religious group, or were there people in your circle that were believe different things or, you know, whatever?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. People that I went to school with in that same circle. But, of course, since we went to church a lot, I was with those people more than I was with anybody else.
Right. Would you recall, like, how many days a week you usually would go to church back then?
It was Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Thursday. And if there was a what they call the revival, it was more than that. So that was a lot.
Okay. So yeah, sounds like you spent a lot of time there. That makes sense.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you mentioned school for a second. This might be a bit of a broad question, but what was school sort of like for you in general? Just kind of like walk me through the general experience.
It was, I ended up in a high school where my class was over 300 people. So it was pretty huge and quite diverse. But I still had those things that I grew up with along the lines of religion and church and guilt. Uh-huh. So it was quite a struggle.
Right. All right. I have two follow-up questions. Well, one, what do you mean when you say diverse? Like what sort of diversity?
There were even a couple of African-American people in that school, which I didn't come in contact with in the church part of my life. So to me, that was diversity. Also, there were people who were homosexual in the high school. So,
like openly or not openly?
Not openly, no.
Okay, I was like,
not in those days.
Right. Okay, and so when you tell me more about that, like sort of there's these, I don't know, like you're learning that there's gay people that go to your school. Like, how did you learn? What did you think?
Well, the first person that I really caught on to was a guy, and he was just a real fun loving person, as was I, and so we clicked and went to several parties together, and ended up in the crowd that I came out in.
Okay, yeah. Before we, because I do want to get to that in a second, but I just have one more question again. It's going to be a lot of follow-up questions, just so I can.
Okay, that's fine. That's
great. What was, in terms of school, I'm assuming like around you people were like dating and boyfriends, girlfriends, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Did you ever participate in any kind of dating scene, or was that not really something that happened? I know you mentioned you went to church a lot and stuff. So
no, yeah. I did date. I dated guys because at that time I wanted to please my parents, and so if I could have been straight, I wanted to make sure that that would happen. But it wasn't my, it wasn't me. So that didn't happen.
Gotcha. And so when did you realize sort of like who you were, if that makes sense? Because it sounds like you were like aware, like, oh, like I'm not really that into this, but I need to do this to, you know, I want to make my parents happy. When did you realize right. that you were different, I guess?
Well, I knew for certain when I was in my teens. But I remember earlier than that having feelings for other women. I mean, you know, it was, to me, it was always part of me. It wasn't something that I had to, you know, push or anything. It was just there. It was me.
Right. And so you just kind of had this, you just, it was always a part of you. So you just knew, oh, I have feelings sometimes for
right.
women, you know, right. et cetera. I get you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And were those, I know at some point you come out, but before then, was that something you kept completely to yourself, that you had these feelings?
Completely to myself. Yes. For the most part, mm-hmm. only a couple of people I've ever shared that with in that part of my life. Yeah.
Yeah. And do you happen to recall like their reactions or anything?
Well, pretty shocked. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Just shocked that like you experience, like someone experiences these kind of feelings or whatever.
I think shocked that it was me, that it was my reality, because, you know, they might have known me in a different context. And, you know,
what would make it surprising to them for you to be gay? What would make it surprising, you think, to them?
Well, my background, you know, growing up in a religious household, you know, that was just, I mean, if you couldn't do mixed bathing, you sure couldn't do a homosexual lifestyle. That was just doubly forbidden.
Yeah, I was actually just about to ask you what you recall, like the church you went to in that community, like did they ever openly talk about homosexuality or just like
absolutely yeah, absolutely
what, yeah what sort of things would they say, how would they put it?
Well, they said all kinds of sins that was, and that, you know, here are places in the Bible that this says, this proves that's a sin, because I can look it up in the Bible and I can tell you those things.
Yeah, I get you.
Of course, as I've learned, you know, they were taking the Bible out of context, mm-hmm. because I'm still a religious person. And that's part of me, just as anything else is a part of me.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. And that's something I'll probably come back to. But for now, you mentioned that you met, you sort of identified that there was this guy who you were like, oh, he likes, is gay or seems gay or something like that. You go to parties together, and he's really cool, and you end up meeting a bunch of people through him. And you said that you ended up coming out like within that group or somewhere in that time period, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Tell me more about that.
I was about 15.
Yeah, we're coming out 15. Okay. Let's go.
About 15. And you know, there were a lot of people in the circle of friends that I had in high school that were cool with that, you know. So I was lucky in that respect.
Yeah.
But the woman that I met in church.
Really?
Yes.
Tell me, is there more you can tell me about that?
Well, she was 22, I guess, about 20 or 22, and I was 15. Mm-hmm. So my feeling looking back on that is that she was not really a gay person as I describe myself. I would call her more of a predator.
I was thinking that when you mentioned the ages, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so that happens.
Yes.
And how long does that go on for?
Oh, probably about a year and a half. And then when she decided she was done with me, she called my parents and told them that what I'd been up to. And so my parents grounded me for the rest of my life.
Do you have any, after like she out, do you have any insight as to why she decided to like out all of that information?
Well, there again, I wouldn't say that she was a gay person, because
right.
She was only looking for a short time thing. Excuse me,
right.
Let me turn this off.
Oh yeah, no problem.
Let me turn my phone off.
Oh yeah, no problem.
She was not looking for a lifelong partner like I envisioned myself having.
Yeah. Tell me more about that vision of it. It sounds like you were like, oh, I want, you know, long-term relationship, life partner. Tell me more about sort of like, I guess it's
exactly.
Kind of like a dream or a goal, kind of.
A goal to move. I wanted to move out of the city I was in and away from all that influence, be myself and find a person of like mind that I could live with and make a life with. And thankfully I did.
So it sounds like, I mean, for many, many years you were wanting to get out of this place. Around what age did that actually happen?
I was 21 when I came to Lexington in 1967.
Right. And was that for the IBM thing, or did that happen?
That was for the IBM thing. Yes.
Okay. And so what led you up to the IBM position? Like, did you apply to something or go somewhere to get that?
I went to a junior college technical school in Chattanooga, and I got my degree in chemical engineering, and they very much wanted chemical technicians to come to Lexington to work. So I knew what my target was, and I knew where to go to school to get it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you come to Lexington, and tell me about that move and when you get here. Like, had you visited Lexington before, or was it completely new to you?
No, it was the first time I'd ever been on an airplane.
Oh, wow.
First time I'd really traveled anywhere outside of my area. See, the other background that you need to know is my parents were not wealthy at all, and when I came to work at IBM, I started making more than my father was making in a year. So, you know, it was quite a quite a jump
yeah.
for me to come here. And I was very proud of coming here and everything. And, you know, not only was there a good community in Lexington, there I had this super job. So, you know, yeah. I was set up to the point where I could be proud of myself no matter who I met. I could say I had accomplished this and I was going on to do more.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so when you got to Lexington, you have this awesome job, you're making more money than like you've ever seen or, you know, whatever.
Right. Right.
So what sort of, and you mentioned, I think you kind of vaguely mentioned like meeting people and stuff, like what sort of social connections did you make there? Like, did you meet other gay people, for instance? Did you like?
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Tell me more about that. Like, how did you like learn, like would people just tell you or would you just kind of identify through like context clues, like who might be there?
We always know each other, don't we?
Yeah. It's true.
And you know, I met people at the bar, not the country at first, but the bar downtown
right.
was first.
Right.
But you know, and of course I dated several people. Mm-hmm. But when I came to the country is when I met my partner that I would spend 20 years with.
Okay.
So I met her at the country.
Oh, at it. Okay. Yeah. Right. Okay. How about,
yes.
How about some steps sort of leading up to that? Like, how did you learn that the country existed? Like, how did you learn about it?
Well, a friend of mine opened it. So.
Wait, what is it? It's not Catherine Bale Gailey or somebody, or Judell Conley. I don't know. It's somebody.
I know Conley, but Ellen Stewart is the person that I know.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I've been trying to reach her, but.
Well, she's hard to get a hold of.
Yeah. Yeah. Other people have tried before me for like different projects. Yeah. We all just know it's probably not going to happen.
I worked with her. She worked at IBM also.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so was it through her that you learned? Because obviously, like, she started it. And so that's how you knew about the country.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it was just, and it was common knowledge. Wherever wherever women would meet, they'd say, hey, there's this really nice new place to go. Oh, okay. You know, but I think probably for a few years there, I was with somebody and women are like this or were like this in my experience. When you got with somebody, you didn't go to the bar all the time.
True. Right. Yeah, that happens. Yeah.
True. When we meet someone, we try to nest.
Yeah, I was going to use that word.
And then when that doesn't work, you go back out. And that was one of those times I went back out and my friend was doing plumbing work at the bar at the country. So
I see. Okay. Yeah.
But she knew Ellen also, and so she was just helping her out because they had some plumbing issues. So
that's the first time I'm hearing about that. Interesting. So you mentioned like obviously like naturally like people would just know about the country since people would talk, especially like when women were hanging out, like, oh, there's this place, new place, the country, etc. What were right. those places that all these like women would be hanging out in? Like, was it just people's houses? Was it like at the bar as in the one downtown? You know, where sort of like, because I'm just kind of like, where were these lesbians hanging out, basically, is my question.
A combination of those things.
Oh, really?
Not so much at the bars for women. It was in people's houses because we didn't feel that comfortable in the bar setting.
Yeah,
it was a pretty rough place.
Yeah,
back in those days.
Yeah, a few people have mentioned that they didn't feel that I've interviewed have mentioned they didn't feel like that comfortable there. What makes you say it? I mean, I believe you. I'm just asking what makes you say it was kind of like rough and not that comfortable for you?
Well, we had in that back alley there were a lot of laws broken, putting it mildly. And at one time we heard that the police were taking down license plates in the back there. I don't know if that was true or not, but you know, at that point, you know, if you were a career person, you didn't want to get your license plate put in the paper saying, yeah, that right. You were at the bar downtown. I mean, that wouldn't be cool. So we did a lot of stuff at our houses. And I know the group that I was with, you know, we play cards together. We cook steaks together, you know, just every kind of thing. And we always said, wouldn't it be neat if we had a place to go?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And then that happens basically, like the country
right.
pops up. Right. Tell me about sort of what a typical night in the country would be like for you. Like, say it's one of the times like you went there. How would the night usually go? What sort of things would you do there? Yeah. I mean, people have told me all kinds of like party stories, so like, don't worry about that.
Well, obviously there was drinking and dancing and all of that, but then there were also, I believe there was a pool. Was there a pool table? Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what.
And you know, you had a choice. You could dance or you could talk. You know, and. You know, that was kind of the ideal for gay women in that era was to have a place where you had the choice to dance or talk or, you know, meet new people or whatever.
I see.
So it was the broadening of the choices, and there weren't so many men.
I was going to ask about that. Actually. Yeah. Yeah. So for example, like at the bar, the one downtown, what was sort of the gender distribution? Like, was it, I'm assuming like mostly men would go there, or was it mixed?
Oh, downtown, the bar, yeah. The bar. Yeah.
Yeah. The bar.
I'd say it was 75-25.
Yeah.
In those days. Yeah.
Right. And then, so at the country, I mean, would men ever go there?
Very, very few that I saw. Very few.
Yeah. And the men that did go, did you happen to know like where they were coming from? Like, were they gay or were they like not gay? Like, what was, you know, what was going on?
No, they were the ones I ever saw were, or they, you know, were there like with their sister or something. I don't know. You know, they were there with a friend.
Okay. I see.
You know, and they wouldn't stay the whole night. They'd kind of drop them off and they'd go someplace and come back or something like that.
Right. And tell me
it was
about,
definitely for women. It
right. Definitely for the women.
Yeah. Yeah.
And tell me if you can what you remember about the interior, like the inside of the bar. Like, what did it look like? Was it one room, multiple rooms? Just anything you can just kind of remember about what it looked like, really.
Well, when you came in, there was a bar that went the whole length of that room. And then you went down the hall and there were the restrooms. And then if you took a right, you'd go into the dance floor room. But also in the main room, there were tables that you could sit and talk at, you know, and things like that.
Okay. Yeah.
Not a whole lot of tables, but there were some.
Right.
And in, I think in the dance area, there were mostly benches around the perimeter, benches, and then a couple of tables too. But wow, we liked our big dance floor.
Do you remember what kind of music they would play there?
What kind of what?
Music. What kind of music they would play there?
Well, I'm so old.
I can tell you what other people have said. They said it was a lot of disco. They said it was a lot of disco.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Gotcha. All right. And random question, but was there a men's bathroom even? Because you said bathroom. So I was like, oh, was there like a men's bathroom?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, like they don't even
if there was one, it was rarely used as a men's wrap.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Right.
And this is something I've asked a couple of people. Did anyone ever take photos there? Or was that just like you don't take photos because like you don't want a photo of yourself getting into the wrong person's hands or whatever?
Well, here's what you got to think about. Here we are in the olden days. We didn't have cell phones. So we didn't have a camera on us.
Yeah.
And to me, if somebody had walked in a bar with a camera, I'd have said, huh?
Right.
What are you doing? What are you doing that for?
Right. That would be like unusual. It would stand out.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So no, I never took pictures there.
Gotcha. Yeah, because I've always been curious because there's no pictures of it. There's no pictures
right,
of it. Inside.
Right.
But maybe one day. Maybe there
can
be a photo of it.
They're in here.
right. Maybe one day a photo of like it being constructed will like come out somehow. Who knows?
Right.
Oh, so also what sort of, again, this is a pretty small detail question, but what sort of drinks would people usually have there? What kind of alcohol would people drink?
Well, it was mostly beer and wine that I recall, because I don't remember. Well, this is just for me. Maybe I didn't drink mixed drinks that much when I was there.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Beer and wine is what I remembered.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember how late they would be open? Like how early, just sort of like, were they open like very late or did they close kind of early?
I think till one.
Till one.
I believe.
Oh, yeah.
And way before that, people would have a party out in their cars or something. I had a van.
Oh, you
and
definitely
so
tell me.
My
about
van
that.
was a party place after hours.
Oh, cool. Yeah. How many people would come to that? Just like a small group or like a lot of
Yeah,
people?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you couldn't get very many people in there comfortably. So, yeah.
Right, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. And was it open? I mean, you might not know this, but was it, do you remember what days it was open? Like, was it open throughout the week or was it just like a weekend thing? It might depend.
I believe it was open some days during the week, but I didn't go there during the week.
Okay.
That much because of work. I mean, I had a serious job and, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And whenever it was, you know, the case that you were there and it was the weekend and all of that, what was the crowd like in the sense of like, was it always the same people there, like always the same regulars, or were there always like also new people that were coming? What sort of, if you have any sense of that, what would be your sense of that?
I would say mostly the regulars, but in my experience, and I think I touched on this before, is if I was in a relationship, I wasn't there.
Yeah, right.
When I, you know, if I broke up, then I was
going back
out to the bar because
right.
there was nothing else to do if you were single.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. Yeah. And in terms of like meeting women in Lexington at that time, was the country the best place to do that, I'm assuming?
Absolutely.
Like
Absolutely.
By far. Yeah.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
makes sense. Oh, and another question. This is somewhat out of the left field, but I've asked other people because some of them mentioned it. I'm assuming you're familiar with the whole sort of like butch femme thing and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, I'm just like, I can assume that, but I don't
yeah.
want to
yeah.
assume. Anyway. At the country, was there like a lot of that going on, like people like describing themselves or identifying as butch or femme, or was it just kind of mixed or ambiguous? Like, what's sort of your recollection of that?
Well, the older, the more you go back in time, the more prevalent that was. But coming forward, it and this is a good thing, it faded, and it should have, because we were trying to identify, find our identity in those terms. And when we relaxed a little bit and found out, hey, we can just be who we are, then we didn't have the need for those labels.
That is so interesting. Thanks for all the detail, because I've always wanted a detailed sort of answer about that. Yeah.
And you know, my take on it was, I didn't care what they labeled themselves. I was more interested in who they were and their personality and things like that.
Yeah. And based on what you're saying, I'm assuming that you yourself never really identified as like butch or femme specifically necessarily.
I didn't. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other people put those labels on me.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't think of myself in that way.
Yeah, right.
And the wonderful person that I met there that I spent 20 years with was the same way. She did not label herself. Other people might have labeled her, but, you know, we were of one mind on a lot of things. She was just an outrageously wonderful person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we definitely need to hear more about her in a minute. I like putting a little note over here. Okay. Well, actually, we can just move into that now. So you, because you met at the country, right? So do you
exactly.
Tell me more about just like that time that you met, like what that was like?
Well, I was getting over a breakup, and I'm pretty sure it was a weekday. Probably, you know, a late, maybe they opened on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I don't know. That's a little fuzzy to me, but
yeah.
But like I say, Brucie was a plumber. Her father was a plumber he owned a plumbing supply store. So she knew everything about plumbing, and most people in town would call her if they had a plumbing problem. And they knew that if they could just buy her some beers and she would do any kind of plumbing they wanted. That's where we met, and you know, I remember her asking me, well, you're gonna be here this weekend? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we decided to meet that weekend. And she had a friend bring her so she wouldn't have to have a car there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah. Smart.
So she needed a ride home. And I was willing to do that.
Right. Right. Cool. Yeah. And how old were you when you all met? How old were you?
I would say, let's see, that was in the 80s. 82. It was 1982 when we met.
Okay. And how old were you, if you can remember, how old were you when you first went to the country? Like, was that also in 82, or was that sort of earlier?
Oh, no, that was a little, that was earlier than that, yeah.
Okay.
Do you know when it started? Do you know the year it started?
It was 78.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm sure I was one of the first people there. So
it kind of sounds like from what you're telling me now, and the like the people that you knew and stuff, I feel like you were just kind of like placing it.
Yeah.
And oh, something else people have mentioned is that later, sort of toward the very end of the country's existence, that the owner changed and that the name changed to the Hidden Door. Is that right? Something you were around for? Or
absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, really?
Please tell me, because most people I ask, they like were only there for the early part and not the later part, so they don't know much about it.
Well, after Ellen had it, then Shirley Lyons, you have her name, Shirley Lyons?
I do, yeah, so that's definitely right.
And then she, I think they were, maybe they were doing it with JC and Marissa, Melissa? So there were four people
Okay.
that were
Lots
kind
of
of running because I think it became too much on their relationships. See, here we go again. You're in a couple. You're not gonna, if you're a woman in a couple, you're not gonna be out there in the bars because that's just not what you did then.
Right. You gotta go home. You gotta be cozy, basically.
Right, exactly. And it didn't work. There was too much jealousy and all that.
Okay.
I
And
don't know why, but
right. And do you have any recollection of when and why the country slash Hidden Door, it ever closed? Because obviously, like it closes sometime, not that long after 82,
that's right.
I heard. Yeah.
I have to believe that it was because those people were in a relationship and they just didn't want to carry it on. That would have been my reason if I were them.
And
And
so,
it's a shame because,
right.
we lost a lot.
Tell me
But
more
it was
about
definitely a place for women to meet other women.
that.
And once you met and got hooked up, you were you were out of there. So you didn't make the, I guess if you owned it, you didn't make that much money because the couples weren't coming in there.
Right. So whenever people, it'd be mostly single people, I'm guessing.
Yes,
Right.
yes.
And you mentioned that, it's a shame that it closed because we lost a lot. And I know you mentioned like one because women can meet women there. Is there anything else that you meant by that? Like when you said we lost a lot, like what kind of things did we lose when, the country was?
Well, the sense of community we lost. And it's interesting that's a big part of it because Brucey, my partner and I, decided to have an annual derby party to pull the community together because we missed those people and we didn't, we'd met so many people over the years, and I've got to tell you, our parties were pretty famous.
Please
And
tell me more about them because this is genuinely relevant.
pardon?
Tell me more about the Derby parties because it's genuinely relevant because I just like to remember what kind of things were people up to, how did you guys maintain your community, essentially?
Well, we had so many people that we didn't see at all because they were all doing their little house thing. And nothing wrong with that, but we just didn't stay in contact. So it was our, we all loved Derby so much, but we didn't want to go to the Derby. So we decided to do the Anita Madden thing and, have a nice party for all of the women in Lexington, all of our buddies. So the first one, I'd say there were over 200 people there. There were a lot of people there. And then they just grew from there. And they were sometimes 300 to 500 people there. And
Oh my gosh.
we raised money. We raised money for charities. We did AVOL. We did, we did people that we knew that had cancer or something like that. We did, we raised serious money for things like that.
And you mentioned it was annual and it was very
Yep.
big. I didn't
Very
realize it
big.
was hundreds of people. Like that is
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And everybody, people came that we didn't know, but that was okay because it was word of mouth. It wasn't a thing where you got a ticket or something like that. It was, we had derby pools and food and drink and everything. And we lived in Jessamine County on a 5-acre farm.
Yeah, I was wondering how you had the space for all of these people. I was like, what is the venue for this?
Yeah, we had a 5-acre farm, and people felt really comfortable, and so it was just great.
Yeah. And I think you said that it was for, like all the women. Was it mostly or all women that attended this party, or were there?
was mostly women, yeah. We did have some guy friends and they came, but I'm thinking like three, at the most three couples or four couples of
Right,
men.
yeah,
Yeah. With
and
all those women.
right. They're outnumbered.
Yeah.
And were most or many of the women, did they identify as gay or anything in that range?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I was trying to get a sense for like how many gays were at this thing, basically. Okay. Awesome.
Mostly all of them.
Yeah.
But we did have celebrities that came. We had people who were running for office came.
Oh, really?
Campaign, yeah.
Wow, that's fascinating. And
Yeah.
so, how many years did this go on for, the annual party?
Well, let's see. Rishi and I got together in 82. I'd say we moved to Jessamine County 90 something. I'd say in the mid 90s we started it,
Oh.
and it continued till 2002.
Oh, okay. That's a while.
Because
Yeah.
she passed away. She had cancer and she passed in 2002.
And so that was the end of, a lot of things, but also the end of the annual party, I'm assuming.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was into that annual party. I think somebody
Well, that
else,
variety. Yeah.
yes, I think somebody else picked it up. I know somebody else picked it up. I
Oh,
just
really?
I can't bring their name into my head right now.
Yeah.
But they also had a farm, and so they took it their turn.
Okay, gotcha. Did you ever end up going to their party?
I did.
Oh,
Yes, I
really?
did.
Okay, how was it?
It's cool.
Yeah. All right.
I
And
say not as good. It wasn't as good as ours, but
that's by the sound of it,
just
that might be the
I'm just teasing.
Yeah. Oh, so you mentioned that, after the country was lost, it's like there's this community and you guys all wanted to see each other. And it sounds like a lot of people are paired off, so they weren't necessarily like always coming out to see people.
Right,
So you start the
right.
annual party. And so at the annual party, was there a portion of people there who like used to go to the country, like a sizable portion?
Absolutely,
Like just that same
absolutely. And
crowd?
some of them who had moved out of town, who
Oh,
would
wow.
always come back for the reunion. As a matter of fact, good Lord willing, this year on Derby, there will be a reunion, a 20-year reunion of that Derby party.
Oh, really?
On
That's
Derby, the
oh, right, yeah.
second Saturday in May.
Gotcha. Okay, cool. I hope that happens.
And it will be held at my church on Nicholasville Road.
Okay, awesome.
I go to the Episcopal Church or the Resurrection, and it's just a small church out Nicholasville Road.
Oh, okay. How long have you been going to that church?
Since the 80s, since I met Brucie, she was the first Episcopalian I ever met. See, I was raised Baptist,
Right,
Southern
you
Independent
mentioned.
Baptist. Yeah.
The very intense kind of, yeah.
Yes. So that's great.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. And just like one or two questions I forgot to ask about like the
Okay.
country specifically. Obviously people like drank and they danced and they talked, they played pool, whatever else. Were there ever any special events that took place there, like live music or anything? I've never heard anything about that, but I always ask just in case someone,
There,
knows about that.
not that I recall at the country, at the
Okay.
live music, but we had we a lot of us followed the Real World String Band. You've heard of them, right?
I've heard that name. Tell me more about it, though, like from your
Well,
heart.
they would play like at the fishnet. Remember the old fishnet? They would play there I don't believe they ever played at the country, but I could be wrong because I wasn't there every time the doors opened, so I don't know. But that I know, I don't remember, I don't recall any music like that.
Okay, gotcha.
Live music.
And
it was all that disco stuff.
It's all the disco. Yeah. And do you remember membership cards? Not everyone was around for those, but there's one person who has like a membership card. I don't know.
Oh, I wish older. I still had mine.
Oh, you still
yes, have I remember. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, and was that something that for a period like everyone had a card? Like, how was it sort of like? What was it?
Yeah. They tried to. Well, see. Here again, look, there were the laws, and then there were the I don't know, whatever else that was going on. They wanted to say that it was a private club so that they wouldn't have to invite everybody in, because I don't know, in the years that I went to the bar, there were a lot of people who just wanted to watch the gay people, gawk at us.
Yeah.
And so we didn't, they didn't want that kind of thing. I believe is how that started.
Sense. Yeah, that makes sense. And you mentioned this briefly, and I've heard this from people before regarding, the bar, that there was police harassment, basically, taking license plate numbers, stuff like that. Did that ever happen to the country? Any police interaction?
I don't remember it.
Okay. Yeah, most people have said that nothing that they remember at least happened with any of that. And so the country closes, and then sometime during the 90s is when you start doing this like annual party thing. What happens in between those points, just in your life in general? Like, are you still working for IBM? Are you doing something different?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I stayed there for 33 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's see. I think there was a point at some time where we lamented not having a place to go so much that we might have gone to Cincinnati or Louisville to check out bars there.
Yeah. A few people have mentioned that actually, especially like Louisville. Do you remember I don't know how often you did that, so I don't know how much you would remember, but do you remember anything just about those experiences?
I can't even remember the bar in Louisville's name, but it was a women's bar.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the name of that?
Yeah, there's someone, I can't remember either. Someone has mentioned it to me, though. And apparently it was pretty cool from what they were saying.
Yeah. I remember being there.
Yeah.
At a table with this big, long table and a group from Lexington going.
Yeah.
Was it
a big sort of bar, a lot of people there? Or was it smaller?
I think we brought our own party that night. Because it was just a bunch from Lexington. Yeah.
And so in Cincinnati, was there like an actual like women's bar there, or was it more general?
No. It was mixed. Yeah. It was mixed.
Yeah. How many women's bars in general? I mean, it might be hard to like pinpoint the number, but how many different women's bars did you ever get to go to? Because obviously like they're not, you don't always get a women's bar,
Right.
Especially now.
Those two in the country and the one in Louisville's the only two I can remember.
Okay.
I can't even remember the one in Louisville's name. So, those are the only two I knew about.
Okay. And
at the one in Cincinnati was had well they had drag shows, as did the bar downtown, and I knew two women who did drag in those shows.
Oh, tell me more about that. Yeah,
so I'd have to go and support them.
Right. That's so cool. Yeah. Do you remember like what would they dress up like more? Would they dress up like in the feminine drag style or more like
I
masculine
know,
drag king
butches, bit guys. One
style?
of them even put curly hair on her lips. Curly hair, you know, on her lip.
I love it.
What a crazy woman. But
Yeah. That's so awesome.
it was neat. Yeah.
Yeah. Any other places you went to that were just sort of like where you would go to be around people like you, essentially, whether it's
Well,
bars or houses parties?
this predates the country, but there was a
Okay.
bar at Thomas January House. Did you ever heard of that
No, I know nothing about
one?
that. Yeah.
It was an after bar kind of thing. And but they had this big room at the January House, and it had this huge piano, grand piano. And it had we had a guy that would play that piano after for the after bar. And that was a great place to go.
I've never heard of that place, but that also sounds awesome.
Well, you've never interviewed anybody as old as
Yeah,
I
you really are like most people that I've interviewed, it's just a difference of like, just like a few years, obviously, but they're more on like the later ends of the stuff rather than knowing about the early.
Yeah,
So it's really interesting.
because you don't have to ask. I'm 75 years old.
Gotcha.
So
75 years of information.
that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's why I hate it so bad that that other study got lost, because that person, whoever was doing that study, came to Brucie and I's home in where we had the Derby parties and interviewed both of us.
Yeah, was
And
it
I would love to get a hold of that thing.
right? Was it a man who
It
interviewed?
was a man. Yes, it was a man.
Yeah, was his name Jeff Jones?
Yes, no. Well, are there more than one Jeff Jones? I
Probably
know two Jeff
not.
Jones.
Probably not. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then so, and he interviewed you
And Brucie,
too,
my
both of you.
partner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I am aware of this collection actually. And some of the interviews from that collection are available online, but not all of
Oh.
them. Some of them are like restricted. Some of them are like not yet like uploaded. I wrote
Look
a note
for
down.
that one. Look for
Yeah.
that one, because that will have some of the older perspective in it, if you can find that.
Okay, awesome. And if I find it, I'll send you the link and stuff too.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd
Yeah.
be great. I
And
appreciate that.
oh, of course, yeah. And some follow-up questions. I mean, some of these you've kind of already answered, but I just want to make sure that I get the full answer.
Okay.
At the country, did anyone, whether it was like, well, I guess you mentioned the police didn't really mess with anything that, as far as you were aware of, at least, but was there any harassment from norm, like just everyday civilians, normal people at the country, or not really?
I'm sure that there was. I wasn't there when it happened, but that I think that's what brought about the cards.
Oh, I see. Okay. And did you, generally speaking, feel safe at the country? Like when you were inside there, did you feel safe and comfortable?
Absolutely. Yes, I did.
Yeah. And so what are some things that, well, let me make sure real quick that I didn't miss anything in this first part. Okay. Wow, we really covered a lot of ground, honestly. It's awesome. We really have. So obviously you already mentioned the parties, et cetera. Have you managed to stay in touch with any other people who used to go to the country in more like recent years? Do you ever see or hear from anyone?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me more about that.
Well, let's see. And well, I mentioned in 2002, Brucie passed away, and I had another relationship with a woman, and we lived in Frankfurt, and had a farm there, and we had one small get together of the people that we knew who, and most of them went to the, had been to the country too. And we just had a little, one little get together there, but,
Okay.
Now here's the other sad part about that is she got Alzheimer's, and she, I took her back to Michigan, to her family, and I lived there for 3 years until she no longer knew me. And then I moved back to Lexington because I missed my contacts here.
Right.
So, and I still play cards with a group that most of us went to the country. You know, I'm Facebook friends with tons of people that went to the country. Lexington just has, in general, the 50 years that I've been here has had a wonderful women's community.
Tell me more about that.
In my perspective, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, we've had, like I said, people in politics, you know, judges, I mean, just all kinds of different people have been in the women's community in Lexington. And we would do most anything for each other, you know, and the people that followed the band, followed Real World String Band. We were very devoted to them. And, you know, we just had a lot of things to bring us together.
Yeah. There have been a few people who've mentioned Real World String Bands. So another question, was there any sort of overlap or involvement, whether it was yourself or people around you, with the women's movement, feminism, that sort of thing?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I'm assuming, because it kind of goes hand in hand.
Doesn't that all go in hand in hand?
Yeah.
Well, and a bunch of us would always go to the women's festival in Michigan.
Oh, yeah, right.
There'd be a train going down the, you know, a train of cars going to Michigan.
How many times did you go to the Niche Fest, the Michigan Festival?
Oh, I went three times.
Three times.
And I'm sure that Brucie went, before she met me, she went other times too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I know it's been a popular thing.
Right. What do you remember anything about the times that you went? Like, what was it like? I'm assuming it was like a lot of people from what I've read about it before.
Absolutely. A lot of people, so much diversity. You just makes your head spin to even think about it.
Yeah.
I mean, people, you know, women, nude women, you know, I mean, just everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
People with children, you know, it just, handicapped people in RVs,
mm-hmm.
Just everything, everybody together.
Yeah. And was it a lot of like live music and stuff like that? What sort of?
Oh yeah. Yeah. They had a day stage and a night stage, mm-hmm. and everything.
And I believe that was a women's only space, right?
Yes. Even the little boys.
Oh, really?
You had to camp. If you had a little boy, you had to camp in a different place. Well, that's because a lot of women wanted to nude, you know.
Yeah, right. Place. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't exactly mix very well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were providing childcare. So there's that too.
That's right. That's right.
Interesting. Cool. I didn't know you had gone to that. So I'm glad that you mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so well,
I'm so lucky because I've seen us come from a space where we weren't welcome anywhere to a space now where we're welcomed most places.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and marriage, I never thought I'd see all this. I really didn't. And by the way, Brucey and I were never married.
I was going to ask.
We never even thought that was a possibility in our lifetime. And really it wasn't.
Right.
We were okay with that.
Yeah.
We were committed to each other. So it didn't matter.
Right. It just kind of didn't matter at that point then.
Right.
Yeah. That was actually my next question was like, because you've been in Lexington for a long time and you've seen like changes. And so I was just going to ask you like Lexington, early Lexington versus like current Lexington, what's different? You know, what has changed? What has not changed from your perspective?
Well,
especially when it comes to gay things, obviously.
You can go downtown and see a pride parade now. There was no pride parade when I came here. There was hardly any pride at all. So we went from no pride to a lot of pride.
Yeah.
So, and I'm so happy to see it. It's just, it's allowed us to be ourselves. Mm-hmm. And really, there's no replacement for that. It's just psychologically, it's a heck of a lot healthier to be who you are and to be able to say, this is who I am, than to hold it in.
Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you experienced that, right?
Believe me, I have.
Yeah, you mentioned a good bit of that. Yeah, and it sounded like it went on
right.
for a while too.
Right.
I
feel like I'm preaching, but I'm really not.
No, you're all good, because I was literally going to ask this question. So like, it's
okay.
Yeah. But I actually did forget to ask something really obvious earlier, which is
okay.
Like way back when you came out, what did your family think? You know, did they ever hear about it? Does that something?
Oh yes. Oh yes.
So
woman who brought me out,
right? Because she did that.
Made
yeah.
sure so that they heard it. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and they grounded you. But what else?
That's right. They grounded me. And then my brother told me not only then, but has many times since then told me, Susan, you're going to hell.
You're just
going to hell.
Yeah. So he still thinks that.
Absolutely. Well, but you got to understand this. He's a guy, and Rush Limbaugh was his idol.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's no accounting for people like that.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like.
I still love my brother, but you know.
Right.
Yeah. He's different.
Right. So it sounds like the immediate family was not like happy about this, like at all, obviously.
No, not. Especially not then, when I was 15. I mean,
right.
Really, I'm on their side in that era, because that woman was not a nice person.
Yeah. When she did that phone call, and then your family learns about all this, did your family express sort of concern for like what this older person and, you know, all
yes,
of that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. What are you doing? You know, what are you doing hanging around her?
Right.
She's definitely a pervert.
Right. Yeah.
Which, you know, I have to agree with that now. I didn't then.
Right. You were so much younger. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to be around her and her friends too.
Oh, so you would be around like her friends who were, I assume, like around her age, right?
Her friends. Well, oh, how much time do we have? She was a member of the Hell's Angels.
Oh, okay. It's not,
yeah.
These are rough people.
Mm-hmm.
So
now they weren't all like that in Chattanooga.
Right,
but,
yeah. Yeah, and so after all that happened, did you like never see her again? Or
I have never seen her again. No.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Did you ever hear sort of what ended up happening with her life or whatever?
Yes.
Oh,
she got married to a man. See, that tells you also.
That just kind of
wasn't it. She wasn't a gay person. She was a pervert.
Yeah, there's like a predator kind of thing going on there for sure. Yeah, I know. I definitely agree with you. I really do. It's undeniable, though. Yeah, and so I'm getting to like the last like two or so questions, just giving you a heads up.
Okay.
So what is life like for you now? What are you up to now? How do you spend your time?
Well, like I said, I'm 75 years old. I have a group of friends that I play games with.
Mm-hmm.
We play dominoes, Mexican train, and we play card games. Mm-hmm. We go to the what's the restaurant that we were at for the country thing? We go there.
Lexington Diner.
Yes, we go to Lexington Diner.
That's so funny.
And we take our cards and we play there. And
oh, that's so cool.
We just have fun. We're just still the same fun-loving people we are. We're just older.
Right. And what did you, I forget when you and I first got in contact about the project, because I feel like there have been a few people I reached out to, and then like it took a while for it to actually like happen. So I'm not sure how long ago that was. So this might be a hard question to answer, but do you remember how you felt when you heard about this project? Like, were you surprised or not surprised that someone was doing this?
Oh, I was very glad, because remember I had that other experience.
Yeah.
And I even asked a couple of people who were there that night about the other study.
Yeah.
And I was very glad. I'm so glad that you're getting this history, herstory down, so that people, that the young people will understand where this all came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And not that we didn't do anything to, well, I guess we did. We helped it along, but,
The several hundred large parties probably helped.
we saw some different things that, and hopefully it will never go back to that place where we have to be secretive and not be ourselves.
Yeah.
We don't want to ever go back there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. No, I'm like, nope, don't want to go back to that.
Right.
All right. I have one more question then.
Okay.
How do you feel, you've been talking about the country for over an hour now, talking about your life. When you look back on the country after all these years and talking about it again, what do you think? What do you feel? What are you thinking, feeling right now about it? Just looking back on it all.
I'd love to have had a movie camera.
I wish you did too, because like there's no pictures. We have old pictures of the bar complex, like the bar, but we'll see.
I know. Everybody it would have been out. So nice to have had that, and I miss some of the people I haven't seen. I saw JC Conley at the anniversary thing,
mm-hmm.
for the first time, and I'll bet you I haven't seen her in 30 years.
Wow. What was that like?
It was just amazing. She doesn't look the same. She does not look the same.
Oh, really?
I'm sure I don't either, but it's just great. I feel great about it. I feel, nostalgic, obviously, because I met Brucie there, and I still miss the heck out of her, but mm-hmm. At least I have those memories to and thank you for letting me relive some of them with you.
Thank you for sharing them with me. I could feel myself getting a little emotional at points, but I was trying to keep it together. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Well,
sharing all this,
my pleasure.
Yeah. And, after we wrap up, I'll reach out to you and I will ask for your mailing address, since I'm just going to mail you a form that we both signed, just being like, oh, this is the interview we did, basically. And we're going to store it in the archive, basically, and that's pretty much it on that. And
you're
if
going to
there's,
let people see it, right, if they want
yep,
to?
that's
All
exactly
right.
the plan. That's the point.
Great.
That's the point.
All
And I
right.
will look into the Jeff Jones thing and let you know if anything comes of that too. The
Great.
Jeff
Thank
Jones.
you so much.
Of course, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Take
you.
care of yourself.
You too. All right. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.